For anyone who visits the calm, orderly Camp Lejeune today, the atmosphere back then sounds almost unimaginable. Here's an August 1969 report from NBC News correspondent Robert Goralski.
The conflict on the base itself has reached the point where even Vietnam veterans fear walking at night. Special, racially mixed patrols have been set up to prevent further violence.
Retired Massachusetts iron worker Robert Janot, who's white, was a young Marine stationed at Camp Lejeune then. He and friends had been at a bar on base, watching the moon landing on TV.
Four or five of us walking back from the Enlisted Man's Club, and about 40 black Marines came around the corner, and all hell broke loose, so to speak.
One of the men with him was badly beaten.
He got knocked down, and the living stomped out of him.
Half a dozen attacks took place that night as groups of rioters roamed the base. A 20-year-old white corporal named Edward Bankston was beaten to death. For years beforehand, racial tension had been rising across the military. Black troops were no happier than their white counterparts at being drafted, and also faced institutionalized racism in the military. Former Drill Sergeant Willie Robertson of Clayton, North Carolina, says black Marines faced demeaning treatment from white troops.
He would call you, he wouldn't call you Private Robinson. He might say, "Hey, Spliv, come here, Spliv." And I'm like, "Who's Spliv?" I had no idea what he was talking about. But the guys from up north, you know, they knew what it was. Well, he said, "They're calling you an N-word."
Robertson was badly wounded in Vietnam and had been sent back to Lejeune to recuperate. He was there when the rioting broke out, but didn't hear about it until later. It didn't surprise him, given the tensions among black Marines.
Most of them was on the edge, and most of the stuff happened shortly right after Martin Luther King got killed. They just took it out on whites because it was a white man that killed Martin Luther King.
History professor James Westheider of the University of Cincinnati Claremont is the author of Fighting on Two Fronts, a book on African-American troops during the Vietnam War. He says black troops everywhere were on the same hair trigger.
Lejeune is really the first major racial gang fight in the military. After that, you see it in other places.
Westheider says early in the war, African Americans often saw the military in a positive light, as a place where they had a chance of a good career. But with younger draftees, less tolerant of racism, that began to change.
One of the turning points appears to be the assassination of Dr. King and the reaction of a lot of whites in Vietnam and throughout the U.S. military establishment helped exacerbate this. At Cameron Bay, whites made Klan uniforms and paraded with a Confederate flag when they heard the news.
The Lejeune riot caught military leaders off guard. The services had been desegregated for years, and Westheider says military leaders had no idea institutionalized racism remained a problem.
If you look at the Department of the Army's official report in 1968, they actually bragged that they had eliminated racism from the armed forces. So they did not assume that they were causing their own problem.
Changes were slow, but eventually the Pentagon addressed racial disparities in the military justice system, and it tackled another issue, the low number of black officers and senior enlisted leaders. The military also began to mandate race relations training, and Westheider says it pressured career troops to fall in line with the new thinking.
One thing about the armed forces, they can't change the way you think, but they certainly can change the way you act. And actually, they did a pretty darn good job of it.
But he notes that problems with white supremacists in the military have surfaced again in recent months. Even half a century later, race relations in the military, as in the civilian world, remain a work in progress. This is Jay Price reporting.